This is Stan Bennett in Washington, D.C. Today on Jay Sekulow Live, the chaotic situation in the Middle East continues. The Obama administration continues to call on restraint from Israel.
Live from Washington, D.C., Jay Sekulow Live.
Prime Minister Netanyahu said yesterday, and I quote, "Hamas will pay." Is that consistent with the spirit or the intentions, as the United States reads them, of trying not to escalate or destabilize the situation?
It is notable that Hamas and their leadership has publicly praised the fact that these kidnappings occurred. So it's certainly the reaction of the Israeli government to comments like that we saw from Hamas's leadership is certainly understandable. But there's also a responsibility that both sides have to exercise restraint.
Phone lines are open for your questions right now. Call 1-800-684-3110.
As we said yesterday and have said for many days, we are encouraging restraint from both sides, from the parties, to avoid steps that now could destabilize the situation. From the outset, we have offered our full support to Israel and the Palestinian Authority to find the perpetrators of this crime and bring them to justice. And we encourage Israel and the Palestinian Authority to continue working together in that effort.
That's 1-800-684-3110.
You and I both know that it wouldn't take 7,000 rockets or 700 rockets or 70 rockets. If you fired 7 rockets in an American city, the American people would demand a very swift response that would make anything Israel does pale by comparison.
We have many indications as part of this investigation, which, by the way, we take very seriously, just for the fact that these are 3 teenagers that have been killed, but also given that one's an American. So there are many indications as part of this investigation that Hamas may have been involved. I am not at this point saying they were responsible.
And now your host, Stan Bennett.
Welcome to the broadcast, everyone. Phone lines are open for you at 1-800-684-3110. Stan Bennett in Washington, D.C., David French in Franklin, Tennessee. Jay and Jordan are continuing their study program in Oxford, folks, and they are dealing exactly with the issue that we are talking about today, and that is this continuing crisis in Israel and the West Bank. And, folks, it is getting worse. As you know, Hamas has been celebrating the abduction and the killing of these 3 Israeli teenagers, one of which was an American citizen. Now, meanwhile, the Obama administration, rather than providing a strong response for our ally, Israel, is really putting, I call it shared responsibility, on them to show restraint and to, quote, not destabilize the situation. And David, that is really just, I would call it a perverted response. First of all, it addresses the victim, who is also our ally, and not the perpetrator, who happens to be a terrorist organization, Hamas. And second, when there is not a meaningful response to an attack like this, to this type of situation, it leads to not less chaos, it leads to more chaos in the streets, and that's exactly what we're seeing today.
Oh, absolutely. You know, one of the things, and when the president calls this a tragedy, that's the wrong word. A tragedy is when there's an accident and people lose their lives. This was an act of terrorist violence. This was a terrorist act by Hamas. That's not a tragedy. It's an act of war. It's an act of war celebrated by Hamas that our own State Department is acknowledging Hamas was involved in, yet they won't carry through to the logical and legal conclusion here, which is we have to cut off aid. That's what the law says, but we will not do it. This administration will not do it. That's why we need to hear from all the people listening today.
Folks, I'm going to play for you sound after this break that the State Department is saying there is nothing new in this situation, ignoring the fact that a terrorist organization is now a part of this government. That makes the two parties involved, Israel and the Palestinian Authority, the unity government. Those are not moral equivalents. I will play that sound for you after the break. But as we go to the break, folks, our call to you and our call to this administration is very, very simple. No more dollars for terrorists and no more deals with jihadists. If you agree with us, if you want to stand with us and demand that of this administration, call now 877-989-2255. That petition is online as well at aclj.org. But as we go to this break, tell this administration what you expect of them. Tell them you expect them to stand with our ally Israel. 877-989-2255.
It is a dangerous and deadly combination, and it represents a grave threat to Israel. Hamas and the Palestinian Authority have announced their long-planned unity government. The terrorists of Hamas will join the extremists in the Palestinian Authority, united in their resolve to destroy Israel. Here's the problem. The United States provides hundreds of millions of taxpayer funds to the Palestinian Authority. And the fact is that if this unity government is finalized, the U.S. will actually be funding Hamas. Don't let that happen. Stand with the American Center for Law and Justice and send a message to the President and to Congress. Tell Washington, tell the Obama administration, not one dime of your taxpayer dollars should fund jihadists. Add your name to our new petition right now. Call 1-877-989-2255. That's 1-877-989-2255, or you can add your name online, aclj.org.
This is Jay Sekulow, Chief Counsel for the ACLJ. The battle to defend our religious freedom is being fought in courtrooms at the highest level. The need for exceptionally trained lawyers to protect our future is vital. Regent University School of Law is the nation's preeminent Christian law program for anyone considering a career in law today. ABA accredited Regent Law ranks top 10 in the nation in faculty, according to the Princeton Review. With over 66 awards, Regent also placed in the top two in the Oxford University Global Moot Court Championship, besting both Oxford and Cambridge. The ACLJ is located on Regent's campus in Virginia Beach, Virginia, offering students an unprecedented opportunity to work on landmark Supreme Court cases through our association. Real-world training by real-world lawyers for today's unprecedented challenges. Come and study law where the law began. For information, go to regent.edu/law. That's regent.edu/law.
Hey everyone, welcome back to Jay Sekulow Live. Than Bennett in Washington, D.C., David French in Franklin, Tennessee. And before the break, we were talking about this administration's response to this tragic killing of three Israeli teenagers and how this administration has chosen to respond. I want to play for you some sound directly from the State Department. I'm going to interject some comments in the middle of this, and then we're going to play the rest of it and follow up with some analysis with David. But I want to give you a flavor of how this State Department, under the direction of the President of the United States, views this tragedy and how they view our relationship with this new unity government that includes Hamas. Let's go ahead and play this sound. It's Byte 16.
Would Hamas's involvement in something like this be cause for the administration to rethink its support for the new Palestinian government?
Well, Matt, let me first say there's nothing new as it relates to our view in this specific case.
I'm going to jump right back there. We'll play the rest in a minute. But nothing new as it relates to our view in this specific case. Folks, understand this. Hamas is a part of the government, and they are killing kids. Now, it's accurate to say that the rockets that they're launching, those aren't anything new. They've been doing that for a long time. But for the State Department to suggest that nothing has changed with our relationship to the Palestinian Authority and the government there, the unity government, it is a failure to acknowledge that a designated terrorist organization is now a part of that government. It is a joke of a statement. It has to be called out as such. Let's go ahead and play the rest of the statement.
As we've noted in the past, but it's worth noting again, there are some similar circumstances that we have seen. I'm not going to make a prediction, of course. We do look at all kinds of information as it relates to our relationship with the Palestinians, our relationship with any entity that we work with. So I'm not going to make a prediction. I don't know what the outcome will be of the final findings.
The State Department does not want to make a prediction about how they will interact with the Palestinian government. I have three words for them. Follow the law. This is not their decision, David, to decide. The law, the current law in the United States, dictates how they must treat this government. There is absolutely no ambiguity there.
Look, when they said there's nothing new here, they were right in this respect, that the Obama administration has become comfortable with the idea of funding an entity that engages in ongoing terrorist warfare against Israel. They're comfortable with continuing to fund an entity in violation of American law. That's what's not new about this. Of course, in the real world, what's new is that there was a new and deadly terrorist attack. But when they say there's nothing new, that's this message they are sending to the American people. That's the message they're sending to the Palestinian Authority, that we are okay with funding you even while Hamas launches terrorist attacks. That's the message that they are sending. You know, and one thing that is absolutely key here to understand is you're going to hear a lot about, oh, the Palestinians condemn this, the Palestinians condemn this. The mere fact that you can find one or two Palestinian officials here to offer some sort of rote condemnation, to mouth the words for Western media, does not in any way, shape, or form mean that this Palestinian government has reformed itself. Hamas, which is part of the government, has been celebrating this kidnapping, has been celebrating the killing of these kids. So, no, there is nothing new here in the sense that Hamas is the same Hamas. We should not be funding them.
Folks, if you want to insist that the United States stand by our ally Israel, if you want to insist even more simply than that, that they just follow the law stipulates that we don't send dollars to terrorist organizations and Hamas is officially designated as such. If you want to insist that they follow that law, and if they don't want to follow it, they need to change it before they don't follow it. I want you to call now 877-989-2255. Or sign online at aclj.org. David, we're going to go right to the phones, take a few phone calls at 1-800-684-3110. We're going to start with Patricia calling on line 3 from New Jersey. Patricia, welcome to Jay Sekulow Live.
Yes, thank you. Yes, I would just like to say that we should be thank God for the God of Israel and for his chosen nation, and that the enemy of Israel is the enemy of God, and that those who know him personally, Yeshua, that we would stand strong in our faith and in the strength of the Lord with God's chosen nation, Israel.
Patricia, one of the things that I think is really important in understanding our support for Israel is that this is an issue, you know, and I've said this other times in other settings, whether or not you support Israel in its battle for existence is almost like a shortcut to know if you have basic moral common sense. If you have a basic sense of morality, you're supporting Israel in its battle for existence. Going back to its Declaration of Independence, the surrounding countries tried to destroy it, to push out all of the Jews of Israel into the sea, just 3 years removed from the Holocaust. Right now, the Palestinian Authority that exists, that is being funded by the United States of America, if you look at their own maps, they don't include Israel on their own maps. They celebrate suicide bombers. They launch rockets at civilians. And the idea that there is a moral equivalence here simply means you flunk basic morality 101. There is no moral equivalence between a nation doing its best within the law to defend its very existence and those who are doing their best with no moral bounds to destroy, annihilate, and kill as many people as they can. And the mere fact that there are many people in the United States, that there are people in this administration, that there are people across the pond in Europe who see some sort of moral equivalence or even see Israel as the bad guy is purely appalling.
The two entities involved here, one of them is our staunchest ally in the region, Israel, and one of them is an officially designated terrorist organization. David is exactly right. They are the furthest thing from moral equivalence that I can imagine. I want to play for you a piece of sound here. David talked about, you know, what the U.S. response might be if we were put in a similar situation. And there was actually a conversation between Sean Hannity and the Israeli ambassador to the United States on exactly this question. We played this sound in the open, but I think it's important to play it again. Take a listen, Byte 14.
You and I both know that it wouldn't take 7,000 rockets or 700 rockets or 70 rockets. If you fired 7 rockets in an American city, the American people would demand a very swift response that would make anything Israel does pale by comparison. I think if more Americans could understand what it's like to live under this constant fear where you never know where a rocket is going to hit tomorrow, I think that they would appreciate what Israel is doing and the lengths Israel goes actually to not harm civilians.
David, I'm going to get your comments on this, but I think back simply to September 11th, 2001, and the response of the American people to one isolated attack, albeit one on a massive scale. But if this was a daily occurrence, thousands upon thousands of rockets raining down on our neighborhoods, there would not be dissent among the American people.
Oh, there wouldn't. It wouldn't be a daily occurrence because the United States of America would invade whatever neighboring entity was raining rockets on civilians, defeat them, occupy and cleanse it of any enemy forces. That's what we would do. Look, I was in Iraq. I know that as much restraint as our guys fought with to respect civilian life and to save civilian life, Israel actually fights with more restraint than we do. And yet it gets this reputation in anti-Semitic, and let's just call it for what it is, anti-Semitic circles in the United States and Europe. It has a reputation for disproportionate, excessively violent responses to attacks that no other country in the Western world would ever tolerate to the extent that Israel does. And yet they are called out for so-called war crimes. In fact, the ACLJ and Jay has defended Israel from these war crimes allegations before in the International Criminal Court. And we haven't talked about this very much, but right now, Jay is in Oxford with senior attorneys from the ACLJ defending Israel, and it couldn't be more timely, defending Israel once again from those in the European left who would deny her very right to exist. He is mounting an academic, scholarly defense to Israel's very right to exist. And why do we have to do that? We have to do that because the other side is writing books, publishing papers, going onto the media to try to educate the youth of today that Israel is an illegitimate state. We have to push back. And thank God we have the resources at the ACLJ to do that through the generosity of our members to send a team to the heart of the debate in Europe over whether Israel has even a right to exist. And they're there now mounting that defense even while here at home we're calling the administration to account for its failure to condemn Hamas.
I'm going to quickly go back to the phones. We're going to go to Bill from New Jersey on line 5. Bill, I've got about 30 seconds before a hard break.
Hey, guys. Thanks for the show. I really appreciate all that you guys do. My frustration is that, you know, when we sign petitions and so many things take place, we never get reports as to whether or not the petitions we sign and the questions that we raise, if there's actually any effect or impact at all. We have a lawless president who's still in office, by the way, hasn't been impeached. And it just seems like lawlessness is running rampant.
Yeah, certainly understand your point, Bill. I will get into more details about specific victories that have resulted from petitions in the past. David has talked about these many times. I can tell you for a fact they do work, and not only with the president, but let me tell you, in my work on the Hill, when I walk into a congressional office and I can show them that their voters, their constituents, the people that put them in office care about an issue, it makes them pay attention. Folks, we can talk about this too. Senator Paul, Congressman Franks, Congressman DeSantis, they all have legislation speaking to this funding issue. We are standing with those bills. We are also demanding that the president follow the law. If you agree with us, call now 877-989-2255 or go to aclj.org. No more dollars for terrorists.
The American Center for Law and Justice is on the front lines, holding the Internal Revenue Service accountable for a targeting scheme aimed at conservative and Tea Party groups. The ACLJ represents 41 organizations in 22 states in the largest lawsuit against the IRS on behalf of targeted Americans. Now it is time for the story to be told. The ACLJ has put together a short movie telling the story and explaining the high stakes of our fight against IRS abuse. ACLJ Chief Counsel Jay Sekulow sat down with Senators Ted Cruz and Rand Paul, Dr. Ben Carson, and many national leaders to tell this critical story. You can watch this movie free of charge. Go online to download this powerful new film, Tax Invasion, at aclj.org. That's aclj.org. It is a dangerous and deadly combination, and it represents a grave threat to Israel. Hamas and the Palestinian Authority have announced their long-planned unity government. The terrorists of Hamas will join the extremists in the Palestinian Authority, united in their resolve to destroy Israel. Here's the problem. The United States provides hundreds of millions of taxpayer funds to the Palestinian Authority. And the fact is that if this unity government is finalized, the U.S. will actually be funding Hamas. Don't let that happen. Stand with the American Center for Law and Justice and send a message to the President and to Congress. Tell Washington, tell the Obama administration, not one dime of your taxpayer dollars should fund jihadists. Add your name to our new petition right now. Call 1-877-989-2255. That's 1-877-989-2255. 877-989-2255, or you can add your name online, aclj.org.
Hey, everyone. Welcome back to the broadcast. We are going to be taking your calls in this segment of the broadcast, 1-800-684-3110. I'm going to get right to them. But first of all, I wanted David to just briefly address the question that the last caller, Bill, had in the last segment of the broadcast, talking about the effect of petitions. David, we at the ACLJ have seen that when the American people speak out with us in large numbers, real results really can happen.
Yeah, I mean, let's look at about four instances right off the top of my head. Number one, the administration was going to send F-16s to the Muslim Brotherhood, led government in Egypt, back when the Muslim Brotherhood was in power, without even one whisper of dissent. We do a petition, more than 250,000 people sign. Congress gets involved. There was a delay of delivery of those jets. Now they're not going to the Muslim Brotherhood, but to allies of ours. Number two, no one had heard of Pastor Saeed before we started pushing our petition to get the U.S. government to engage. Hundreds of thousands of Americans, more than 600,000 Americans spoke out, and not only did the U.S. government engage, but President Obama himself raised Pastor Saeed's plight in the first conversation with the leader of Iran in a generation. So that's people responding. Number three, Miriam Ibrahim, when we started this effort to get her out, and we were not alone in this, there were an awful lot of other people, but we had more than 300,000 signatures, and even though she's not out of the country, and yet she is not on death row, and she is in refuge at the U.S. Embassy. And then here at home, number four, FCC monitors in newsrooms. Nobody was talking about that. There was one op-ed that had already kind of started to disappear. We spoke out about it. We had 100,000 signatures in just days, and next thing you know, the FCC backs down. I could go on, but I think we need to repeat these victories to show people there is hope. And that doesn't even count the court victories we've had wins in, and where we've right. had many members of ours sign on to our briefs.
No, I couldn't agree with you more, David. And in our form of government, the representative form of government, if we don't speak out and insist on what we expect out of our government, then the results that we get are partially our own responsibility. So our obligation in this relationship with the government is to speak out and make sure they understand what we expect of them. I want to go right to the phones, 1-800-684-3110. Let's go to Diane calling on line one from Indiana. Diane, welcome to Jay Sekulow Live.
How are you?
Good. You're on the air.
Good. I just heard on Fox News that the Hamas is claiming that a teenager was killed by Israeli fire, his body burned and all that. And this is my opinion, that they are winning, again, the propaganda war. They're either lying, there was none killed, or he was a terrorist himself.
Well, Diane, it's a very confused situation. It does appear that there was an Arab teenager who was killed, which is a terrible thing. But look, here's the difference between Hamas and Israel. If that person was killed by an Israeli, Israel will prosecute that person, try them, convict them, and put them in jail. When Hamas does that to Israeli teenagers, Hamas celebrates it, Hamas plans it. That's their whole strategy. I mean, we're dealing with people who name schools after suicide bombers, who provide financial compensation to murderers. I mean, murder is their strategy. Israel is a country like the United States, where there are some citizens who commit crimes, but you know what we do when citizens commit crimes? We prosecute them because we're a civilized country. There's nothing civilized about Hamas. And as I said in the last segment, there is no such thing as moral equivalence here. There is zero moral equivalence between one country that celebrates civilian deaths, or I say country, one entity, one terrorist entity that celebrates civilian deaths, and another one that risks the lives of their soldiers and their citizens to prevent civilian deaths, and if they do occur, will prosecute the offenders. There's no comparison.
And folks, just to back up what David is saying, I want to play for you a piece of sound from Dan Gillerman, the Israeli ambassador to the UN. This is Byte 7.
For Hamas, terror is a way of life. They educate, they raise their children to become terrorists. You know, we raise our kids to become doctors and save lives. They raise their kids to become killers and take lives. And only yesterday, the mother of one of the suspects said that she's going to raise his children to become martyrs, and she hopes that one day they will do the same.
Ambassador Gillerman is correct. David is correct. We are not dealing with moral equivalence here. Let's go back to the phones. Let's go to line four. Mike is calling from Oklahoma. Mike, you are on the air.
Okay, thank you. Yeah, I'd just like to say that's what I like about Israel. They know who their enemy is. So after the death of those three young men, they retaliated against them. And that's something that the United States should have done when Benghazi happened. We shouldn't have gone into a lengthy investigation. We know who our enemies are. And then who's to say that Hamas themselves is not the one that killed that young Palestinian just to go in there and kind of stir the pudding, you know?
Well, Mike, you know, one of the things we've learned in dealing with jihadists for years and years and years is they will do anything possible, anything, including using human shields, women and children, to try to paint the United States, to try to paint Israel as barbaric. We don't know what happened over there with that teenager in Israel. That's going to be investigated. But, you know, you are exactly right. Israel has a right to defend itself. It has a right to not just retaliate, but to eliminate the terrorist threat, just as we have that right to do that. And what is so unfortunate, and again, this is why, and I want to come back to what Jay's doing overseas right now, this is why it's so important, the work of the ACLJ in the defense of Israel. We send legal teams overseas to the very heart of anti-Israel legal thinking to defend Israel's right to exist, to defend Israel's right to defend itself, just on the same basis that the United States has a right to exist. The United States has a right to defend itself. That's what we're doing right there, and we do it in Israel as well. We send teams to Israel. We are coordinating at all times our efforts in Washington and overseas to make this common sense point and to defeat the anti-Semitism of those who would see Israel destroyed.
I go back to what we said earlier in the broadcast. If there were rockets raining down on American neighborhoods, the response would be swift, it would be thorough, and those rocket attacks, they would cease because of that response. Let's go back to the phones. Let's go to Francis calling from North Dakota on line five. Francis, welcome to the broadcast.
Hey, guys. How you doing? Really, it's one question, but multi-layered. Really, the first big one is what is the whole reason we should support Israel? Why should I, as an American taxpayer, have my money or the military that I support? I've served 12 years myself. Why should I support Israel? Not the fact that I totally agree Israel has the right to exist, as any country does, any individual does, but what is the benefit to the American people?
I'm glad you called, Francis. That's a good question. I'll give you one example where the American people directly benefited from the friendship between Israel and the United States. And this is one where American lives were at stake. In the Gulf War, when we were attacking Saddam Hussein, Saddam Hussein attempted to fracture the coalition that we'd put together, put American soldiers and lives at risk by igniting a much wider Middle East war by attacking Israel directly with Scud missiles. Any other nation would have retaliated. Israel did not, on our request. Think about that. On our request, they did not retaliate out of respect for our desire to avoid further American casualties. What nation does that? What nation has ever done that for us? So they're our closest ally. That's just one example. I can give you a million others of counter-terror cooperation. No one has more experience in dealing with jihad than Israel does. They share that experience with us. We have extensive and close ties. We benefit from that relationship with Israel immeasurably in our own defense. So that's why we do it. If you stand with Israel, go to aclj.org or call 877-989-2255.
Stand with the American Center for Law and Justice and send a message to the President and to Congress. Tell Washington, tell the Obama administration, not one dime of your taxpayer dollars should fund jihadists. Add your name to our new petition right now. Call 1-877-989-2255. That's 1-877-989-2255, or you can add your name online, aclj.org.
Hey, everyone. Welcome back to Jay Sekulow Live. Than Bennett in Washington, D.C., David French in Franklin, Tennessee. We are going to take your calls in this segment of the broadcast, 1-800-684-3110, and we are going to start with Wendy calling from California on line 3. Wendy, you are on the air.
Yes, good morning. I have kind of a twofold question. Why is Congress funding, and who are the Congress people that are on the committee, like, you know, has the Ways and Means Committee and so on? How are they not being held accountable for approving this funding, if I understand our government's function correctly?
This is a great question, Wendy, and it's important for people to understand. Let me just explain it very briefly. Over the last 20 years, we have sent about $5 billion, an average of about $250 million to the Palestinian Authority. Now, there is specific current law that prohibits the United States from sending funding to a designated terrorist organization, which Hamas is. Now, what has changed during the course of the last several years is the fact that this unity government in Palestine now includes Hamas. So current U.S. law prohibits us from sending money to that new unity government. However, that funding stream has not been stopped by this administration. Now, their excuse for it is that they want to see how this new unity government behaves. Unfortunately, that is not what the law says. The law is very clear. Any unity government that includes Hamas should not receive taxpayer dollars. Now, where I would go back to the United States Congress on this, even though the law is clear, when this year's funding bills pass, this specific prohibition needs to be attached directly to them so that the president doesn't have any more leeway. He really doesn't have any anyway, but the Congress could make it even more clear this year, and we will be calling on them to do that. By the way, if you want to agree with us in that call, you can add your name to our petition at 877-989-2255 or online at aclj.org. Let's go to John calling from Alaska on line 4. John, you're on the air.
Well, thank you, sir. With that lady that just called in, Mary, you know, another thing, they're taking God out of Congress. They're taking the God out of the country, out of the schools, and, you know, it's sad because our forefathers founded this country on the one nation under God, and they're trying to take God out off of the dollar bill.
Well, John, yeah, I mean, we've got, as we've talked to a lot on this show, there are numerous efforts we're involved in to preserve our Christian heritage, to preserve the original meaning of the Establishment Clause. We have defended In God We Trust. We've defended the Ground Zero Cross. We defend war memorials across the country. All of those things are a vital and ongoing aspect of our work. And in fact, there's some interesting news on the Ground Zero Cross case, where the Second Circuit Court of Appeals has even told American atheists that they need to come up with a better explanation for why the existence of the cross in the museum harmed them. So we're engaged in that fight every day.
Let's quickly take one more call before the end of this segment. Let's go to Katie calling from Maine on line 1. Katie, you're on the air.
Good afternoon. Just a quick question. It's horrific about these Israeli boys being killed. I'm wondering, is Hamas doing this just so these young boys won't grow up to be Israeli soldiers?
Well, that's a good question, Katie, but they're just doing it because they're Israelis. I mean, they would do that for anyone who is too old to be a soldier, too young to be a soldier, and actually a soldier. They just want to kill Israelis. That is their focus. In fact, their goal is to eliminate from that entire region all Jews. That's what they want to do. In fact, the allegedly more moderate Fatah party has said, explicitly said, if they can absolute control the West Bank, they would want to push out every Jew who lives there. So that's what we're dealing with, that kind of level of hatred and viciousness. And that's why we have to stand with Israel, and we have to tell the Obama administration a simple message: comply with the law. You cannot support a terrorist organization. Hamas is a terrorist organization. They have shown that yet again this week, as with the terrible news of their murder of 3 Israeli teenagers, a murder they celebrated. There are no excuses anymore. Defund Hamas. If you agree, go to aclj.org.
It is a dangerous and deadly combination, and it represents a grave threat to Israel. Hamas and the Palestinian Authority have announced their long-planned unity government. The terrorists of Hamas will join the extremists in the Palestinian Authority, united in their resolve to destroy Israel. Here's the problem. The United States provides hundreds of millions of taxpayer funds to the Palestinian Authority. And the fact is that if this unity government is finalized, the U.S. will actually be funding Hamas. Don't let that happen. Stand with the American Center for Law and Justice and send a message to the President and to Congress. Tell Washington, tell the Obama administration, not one dime of your taxpayer dollars should fund jihadists. Add your name to our new petition right now. Call 1-877-989-2255. That's 1-877-989-2255, or you can add your name online, aclj.org. The American Center for Law and Justice is on the front lines, holding the Internal Revenue Service accountable for a targeting scheme aimed at conservative and Tea Party groups. The ACLJ represents 41 organizations in 22 states in the largest lawsuit against the IRS on behalf of targeted Americans. Now it is time for the story to be told. The ACLJ has put together a short movie telling the story and explaining the high stakes of our fight against IRS abuse. ACLJ Chief Counsel Jay Sekulow sat down with Senators Ted Cruz and Rand Paul, Dr. Ben Carson, and many national leaders to tell this critical story. You can watch this movie free of charge. Go online to download this powerful new film, Tax Invasion, at aclj.org. That's aclj.org.
Hey everyone, welcome back to Jay Sekulow Live. Than Bennett in Washington, D.C. We continue to talk about the chaotic situation unfolding in the Middle East with the three Israeli teenagers, one of which was an American citizen, who have been killed. All signs point that to Hamas being involved. In fact, as Jay reported yesterday, it looks like the evidence on that is irrefutable. It looks like a Hamas is definitely involved. It should come as a surprise to nobody, folks. They have been celebrating this kidnapping, this abduction, since the day it happened. It is no accident that they are the ones who are behind this attack, and that situation continues to deteriorate. If you want to stand with us and call for no more deals with jihadists, no more taxpayer dollars going to terrorists, you can do it by calling 877-989-2255 or by signing our petition online at aclj.org. Quickly, folks, I wanted to get you an update on the HHS mandate litigation that we've been involved in. Of course, you know we represent seven clients that are challenging the mandate. We got a very good ruling from the Supreme Court in the Hobby Lobby litigation. Jay was on with Sean Hannity talking about the ramifications for our litigants in the case, as well as all of the others who have challenged this mandate. I wanted you to hear that update. Let's go ahead and roll it now. Again, this is Jay on Sean Hannity's radio broadcast.
Lori Windham is a senior counsel at the Beckett Fund for Religious Liberty. Jay Sekulow, Chief Counsel for the American Center for Law and Justice. And as I understand it, Lori, you worked on this case, and Jay, you put an amicus brief in this case?
We did.
All right.
Yes,
Lori,
that's right.
I did not expect anything less than this today. What is your take on the decision?
Oh, we are thrilled with the decision. It protects the Green family's religious freedom. It gives them everything that we have asked for and that Hobby Lobby has asked for. And it's a great decision, I think a ringing endorsement of religious freedom from Justice Alito.
What do you think, Jay? What's your interpretation of today's events?
Two things, Sean. Number one, I think it's a huge victory for religious freedom. I mean, gigantic. This is two cases. There was probably 70 that were out there. We had seven cases ourselves, two of which were pending at the Supreme Court when these were decided. So I think the ramifications are huge. You read Justice Ginsburg's, you know, dissenting opinion. She starts with a decision startling in breadth. Well, the reality is there's nothing startling about it. The court recognized something that, you know, pretty much a lot of legal lawyers understand. I think a lot of people understand, and that is, there is a right of religious conscience, in the fact that you incorporate your business does not change it. And I think what Justice Alito did, and I think he did it very successfully, was, number one, put the emphasis on the fact that here the government could have done a lot of things differently. But this was a stinging rebuke of the Obama administration's overreach. I mean, we're talking about Hobby Lobby and Conestoga Woods, but they're going after nuns. I mean, this is an administration that, you know, is going after the little sisters. I mean, this is an administration that was so committed to seeing through their mandate here to apply it to businesses that were owned and controlled by people that had real religious convictions, that they were willing to go to the Supreme Court multiple times on this. So I think this is a huge defeat for the Obama administration. They by the way, they lost that union case as well. And, of course, last week they lost the recess appointment power case. So this has been a pretty stinging rebuke to the Obama administration here. I think a big win for the American people and for religious freedom.
Do you think, in looking down the road, that in any way that this – maybe impacts John Boehner's lawsuit?
Well, I'll tell you the one that I think impacts John Boehner's lawsuit. And I think you look at the decision that came out last week on the recess appointment, the Noel Canning versus Canning case, where we represented the speaker in that case at the Supreme Court. I think that case speaks volumes about what the Senate's authority is, what the House authority is, and the really the separation of powers. So I think the administration has had, Sean, to say it bluntly, a really bad couple of days. Because in that labor union case that also came out today, 5-4, the Solicitor General argued in favor of the union, and they lost today in that case as well, trying to say that a woman at home taking care of her son as a home caregiver, her son that was suffering with a disability, who was getting a small subsidy from the state, that small subsidy from the state made her a state employee only for the purposes of union agency fees, and the court rejected that as well, and the Obama administration was on the other side of that.
But doesn't that decision go further than that, in as much as the administration was standing up for labor unions? I mean, doesn't it mean that every person is now free not to contribute to a union?
Well, there was a hope, and I think it's true in the case, that the court really curtailed this idea that you can compel people to associate, in this particular case, with the union if you have a fundamental disagreement with that union's position. They didn't go as far as overturning the Abood decision. This was the decision from 1977. But they did just about everything else you could do. I think this is a huge rebuke to organized labor as we know it today, a huge rebuke to the Obama administration. And you put that in conjunction with the victory that we're talking about here in Hobby Lobby, the victory last week on the recess appointment case. It all points to the same problem: governmental overreach into the private lives of individuals, compelling people to do things that violate their conscience, and the Supreme Court is rejecting it.
Let me talk about the Green family, if I can, for a minute here, Lori. And they're evangelical Christians, right?
Yes, that's right.
And then this other company, this Conestoga Wood Specialties, is a Mennonite-owned furniture manufacturing group. They urge the administration that the contraception mandate is going to force them to pay for certain contraceptive methods that they oppose on religious grounds. I mean, what I don't understand is why wouldn't that apply to any person in any corporation?
Well, I think that what the court did here today was very smart, as they recognized that the Green family gets to live out their faith in the way they run their business. And that's not just something they do in contraceptive coverage. That's also something they do by closing their stores on Sunday, by carrying religious merchandise in the store, by providing excellent employee benefits and good salaries. And so I think that this is really an endorsement of the freedom of this family and other families to continue to live out their faith in the way they conduct their business.
Yeah. Well, the Health and Human Services mandate, they substantially burdens the exercise of religion for the owners of these two specific companies. And the mandate fails what is called the least restrictive means test, right?
That's right. And, Sean, I think that's why the scope of this decision is significant, because while the Greens have a tremendously successful chain of businesses, and Conestoga Woods is a successful furniture company, the fact of the matter is they've all had sincerely held religious beliefs, and the court said we're not checking those when you incorporate. This is a significant decision. This is getting to where the left is going, you know, ballistic online right now, because they're screaming as if the world's coming to an end, when in reality the court made a very reasoned and rational decision in saying, look, when these people enter commerce, they don't surrender who they are and the beliefs that they hold. Absent the government using the least restrictive means and a narrowly tailored approach, which the government did not do here. The president said he wants to operate by a phone and a pen And now the Supreme Court telling him, no, you can't do it that way.
But the president was saying, it as recently as this weekend, and we've been getting signals that as recently as this weekend that, in fact, the president plans to do something unilaterally on immigration. Now, we have immigration laws, but they're not enforcing that law, with the president basically thumb his nose at court decisions and go through the or force his opponents to go through the process of fighting on every time he uses executive overreach?
My answer to that is, and I'm speaking here for the ACLJ, is absolutely he will try. Look, the president said he's going to operate, Sean, by pen and by phone. That's what he's doing. He's getting rebukes on it. But, I mean, you look at the IRS, and they were trying to change the regulations there. You look at the way in which he's changed the health care law, his own signature law. He's had plenty of exemptions. He doesn't mind giving exemptions. It's just exemptions that will serve his interests. And the fact is we've got three branches of government, and sometimes you wonder if there's a fourth with bureaucrats. But the reality is there's three branches of government. The president is not a king. He doesn't get to issue decrees, and he's going to try, though. I think you're going to see that in immigration. And the question is, are the American people and his Congress going to say you can't do it? And I think that's why John Boehner is looking at taking direct legal action here.
I'm not sure, but, I mean, will he have standing in that case, especially because Congress has the ability to cut off funding for different programs of the president. They have their power. They choose not to use it.
Yeah, that's going to be the key issue in the case. No doubt about it, Sean. You think you're absolutely right. If they're standing, I think you'd carry the day, but the standing will be the question.
What do you think, Lori? Do you think that Congress gets away with kind of passing away the authority that they have through the funding process and saying to the courts, bail us out because we don't have the guts to do it?
I think that the Supreme Court dealt a real blow to that way of operating today. You know, this contraception mandate wasn't even in the health care law. It wasn't part of the Affordable Care Act. What happened is Congress said, hey, we have a law that protects religious freedom. Health and Human Services said, hey, you know what? We're not going to follow that law. We're going to impose a contraceptive mandate, and we are not going to put in the exemptions that Congress has mandated. And what the Supreme Court said today is you can't do that. HHS, you have to follow the law. And so I'm hopeful that that's something that will carry through into other decisions as well.
Again, folks, that was Jay on with Sean Hannity talking about the HHS mandate and the ramifications of the recent Supreme Court ruling. If you want to stand with us and tell the Obama administration no more deals with jihadists, no more taxpayer dollars for people who say that the United States is our avowed enemies and who are killing the children of our allies, call now 877-989-2255 or sign our petition online at aclj.org. We'll be back after this break.
This is Jay Sekulow, Chief Counsel for the ACLJ. The battle to defend our religious freedom is being fought in courtrooms at the highest level. The need for exceptionally trained lawyers to protect our future is vital. Regent University School of Law is the nation's preeminent Christian law program for anyone considering a career in law today. ABA accredited Regent Law ranks top 10 in the nation in faculty, according to the Princeton Review. With over 66 awards, Regent also placed in the top 2 in the Oxford University Global Moot Court Championship, besting both Oxford and Cambridge. The ACLJ is located on Regent's campus in Virginia Beach, Virginia, offering students an unprecedented opportunity to work on landmark Supreme Court cases through our association. Real-world training by real-world lawyers for today's unprecedented challenges. Come and study law where the law began. For information, go to regent.edu/law. That's regent.edu/law.
It is a dangerous and deadly combination, and it represents a grave threat to Israel. Hamas and the Palestinian Authority have announced their long-planned unity government. The terrorists of Hamas will join the extremists in the Palestinian Authority, united in their resolve to destroy Israel. Here's the problem. The United States provides hundreds of millions of taxpayer funds to the Palestinian Authority. And the fact is that if this unity government is finalized, the U.S. will actually be funding Hamas. Don't let that happen. Stand with the American Center for Law and Justice and send a message to the President and to Congress. Tell Washington, tell the Obama administration, not one dime of your taxpayer dollars should fund jihadists. Add your name to our new petition right now. Call 1-877-989-2255. That's 1-877-989-2255, or you can add your name online, aclj.org.
Welcome back to Jay Sekulow Live. Than Bennett in Washington, D.C. Jay and Jordan are still in Oxford, folks. They are engaging in a program of study at Oxford, dealing with this whole chaotic situation in the Middle East. So really tying into everything that is going on right now. Of course, the very tragic situation where Hamas appears to be responsible for the kidnapping and the killing of three Israeli teenagers, one of which is an American citizen. The response of the Obama administration, folks, has been to call on Israel. Call on both sides, but including Israel, to show restraint and to not destabilize the situation, as if a situation where a terrorist organization is kidnapping and killing teenagers is a stable situation. It is certainly something that this administration does not seem to have a firm grasp on. And folks, it's not the first time. The foreign policy of this administration has been floundering. It has been one of appeasement. It has been one of unsure footing. And it has been something that we have seen time and time again, whether it's the situation in Iraq or the terrorist attack on our consulate in Benghazi or this new situation in Israel with the tragic killings. Folks, the foreign policy of the Obama administration has come under fire. It has come under fire for good reason. And I thought it would be a good opportunity for us to play an interview that Jay did with Colonel Oliver North last week, talking about his new book. It's called Counterfeit Lies, and it really delves into this whole issue. It delves into the issue of the failure of Obama's foreign policy and all of the crises that are going on in the Middle East right now, from Iraq to Benghazi to the situation in Israel. I thought it would be a very timely interview for you all to hear. I want to go ahead and roll it. Again, this is Jay with Oliver North.
Well, joining us on the phone right now is Lieutenant Colonel Oliver North, a good friend. He's got a brand new book out, by the way, Counterfeit Lies. We're going to get into the book in a moment, but I wanted to first start with Colonel North, your impressions of the situation in Iraq right now. I know you've been there many times with our troops. What's your sense of what's happening?
Well, it's a disaster. We have a rolling cascade of catastrophe from this administration, Jay. Now, let me just give you a quick update from the field, because I just got a message from some guys who had flown me around all over the place out there. These are contractors, and they've been supporting the U.S. They're now desperate for fuel at Baghdad International Airport. Mm. And that means that you're now going to face, if they actually had to do an evacuation operation for our embassy, they're reinforced with 100-plus Marines, so much for no boots on the ground. Number two, fuel is becoming increasingly a problem, and there's no way to get it in safely without another one of these convoys going up in flames. The ISIL, the Islamic State in Iraq and the Levant, continues to grow in strength in the tribal areas that they've controlled for a long time. They're now estimating that there may be as many as 50,000 that joined the force that started out at about 2,500 coming back in from Syria.
Right.
They now are the richest terror group in the world, estimates of $600 million to as much as $1 billion in cash looted from Iraqi banks.
What's your sense of their potential in Baghdad?
What they're saying is that the psychological warfare videos that they've been putting up on their websites and on the social media showing mass executions of captured Iraqi security forces have caused massive desertions within the ISF, the Iraqi security force, the police and military. Ayatollah al-Sistani, who is the leading Shiite cleric in that part of the world, the side of Iran at least, called for volunteers, and over 5,000 showed up, flushing out the ranks of the military, but they're nearly all of them untrained, unarmed, and it's now causing a massive logistics catastrophe for the Iraqi military. So all of these volunteers, which, by the way, would be no match at all for the ISIL. The ISIL guys have been fighting for 3 years in Syria, and so a bunch of untrained volunteers, no matter how enthusiastic they are, simply become cannon fodder. And now the concern is that you've got people like Kerry talking about active assistance with the Iranians.
I want to ask you about that, Colonel North, because that was pronounced very clearly this morning and over the weekend. And there's people in Congress that are echoing that may well be a reality, that we may be joining the Iranians. They're trying to say, well, it's no different than in World War II dealing with Stalin.
Well, let me just point out something. At least Joe Stalin didn't go around actively killing Americans, and that's what the Iranians have done. Number two, the next big catastrophe coming down the road is going to be this so-called permanent international agreement with Iran on their nuclear weapons program. And so it's very likely that they're going to extort some kind of bad deal that obviously Obama's already got a bad deal going. It's going to make it worse if we end up having to cooperate with these guys. Here's another problem. You keep hearing people saying, well, we'll provide air support. There's already several thousand Quds Force personnel from the Islamic Revolutionary Guard Corps in Baghdad. They're actively participating in the defense of the city. They're good fighters. They've been trained. They've fought in many cases before with Hezbollah and, of course, fought in Syria. What the Iranians want is the Iranians want a clear footpath, if you will, a ground approach right into Syria. They've had it. They've had it now from all the way from the east, where the border comes with Iraq and Iran, through Baghdad, all the way west to Al-Qaim. Well, that route is now closed by Islamic radicals, the Sunni radicals from ISIL. What the Iranian goal is to reopen that land route to Syria. And that's because they need that in order to get weapons to Hezbollah in Lebanon. So if you're an American, you're now supposed to support the Iranians' efforts to reestablish their land route across Iraq, and that's their only goal.
And then, of course, increase the vulnerability of Israel in the process.
Exactly. And that, I mean, this administration's stunning inadequacies, their lack of attention. I mean, think about this. In the midst of this crisis, which could result in another, you know, Saigon 75, the President of the United States, Commander-in-Chief, is playing golf and doing fundraisers. Yeah. I mean, this is absolutely stunning.
You know, I made the statement, Colonel North, that the president seems to pick every wrong side of the debate in the Middle East. I mean, consistently picking the wrong side.
I mean, this is just nuts.
Let me ask you about your book. What a great time to have the book come out. It's called Counterfeit Lies. Tell us a little bit about the book and what it's a very different book for you.
The bottom line of this book is, and that's why that insignia is on the front of it. That insignia is the Pazduran, the Islamic Revolutionary Guard Corps. They are the ones who are going to benefit most from this new international agreement. And this book gives the secret away as to how they're going to evade the sanctions and evade the restrictions on their nuclear weapons program. Because you're going to have UN inspectors wandering all over Iran at the end of this thing. This deal is about to get signed. It's been secretly negotiated with the U.S. and with Iran in Geneva. And had this not blown up, it would be a done deal. My hope is the American people who read this book realize this is how these guys have been supporting and are continuing to support their nuclear weapons program. It's all right there in the book.
All right, the book's called Counterfeit Lies. It's by Lieutenant Colonel Oliver North, and Colonel North's been our guest today. Colonel, thanks for being with us, and I really appreciate your insights on what is clearly a very not only delicate but very dangerous situation brewing in the Middle East. Thanks for being with us.
It is indeed. If you'd remind your listeners to go to olivernorth.com, they can see the full book tour there. They can also get signed copies if they can't get to one of them.
Great. So we'll put that up on our Facebook as well and link that over. Very good. Thanks, Colonel.
Thank you, Jay.
Again, folks, that was Jay with Colonel Oliver North and his new book, Counterfeit Lies. Folks, as we close the broadcast today, if you want to stand with us, if you want to call on the Obama administration to stand by our ally Israel and to not send another dime of your taxpayer money to terrorists, no more deals with jihadists, no more dollars for terrorists, call now 877-989-2255 or sign online at aclj.org, and we'll talk to you tomorrow.
Stand with the American Center for Law and Justice and send a message to the President and to Congress. Tell Washington, tell the Obama administration, not one dime of your taxpayer dollars should fund jihadists. Add your name to our new petition right now. Call 1-877-989-2255. That's 1-877-989-2255, or you can add your name online, aclj.org.